Hey, we're here. Now, Caitlin, you're just back from a big vacation.
I had a very relaxing vacation where I did so little work, which is really rare for me on a vacation. Like, you know, normally you still have to be doing some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, at least for me, it's like there's less work, but there's still work going on. I did like the absolute bare minimum this time,
cool.
And I have never felt more relaxed in my life.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Great.
I feel great. I have a slight tan going on, which is like,
wow,
very big for a pale person like myself. Yeah, just lots of beaches and eating delicious things and relaxing. And then I came home and was like, oh, great. I'll get all this stuff to catch up on.
All this snow.
Well, it hasn't snowed here. It's actually pretty warm for February right now. It's like 60, but rainy.
Right.
So for, you know, the Washington, D.C. area, that's unseasonably warm. But the first day I was back, it was still very cold. I had to like put on my full winter jacket, and I felt a little pain putting that on. I was like, no, I just want to live in a warm, sunny place on a beach forever.
Yeah, don't we all? Well, welcome back. It's good to have you back. EZR and I tried to hold down the fort last week. Did you listen to the podcast on your way back?
I did not yet. I still have so much to catch up on. I mean, that's really, I've taken my vacation mode into this week by not finishing this episode either.
Right. So we got to mention that. So you didn't finish this episode, and I missed the last 15 minutes.
And I got to tell you guys that was devastating to me. I don't have to tell you about it yet, but I felt that this rose ceremony was the defining moment of the season for me.
Wait, was there a rose ceremony in the last 15 minutes?
Yes.
After Serene's date?
Yes.
So what was so devastating about it?
Yeah. Should I keep you guys in suspense until we finish the podcast?
You should keep us in suspense for the end.
Yes, that's good. Okay, yeah. And I'll tell you why, because it's interesting. I did look up socials. And so social media accounts, and there are no clear answers, which is makes it even more, quote, devastating for me.
Oh, mysterious.
It is. I'm so glad you guys are on board now, especially you, Craig, who sounds like you just want answers now. Don't look it up. Promise you won't look it up.
Yeah, I want it to be a surprise. And I do intend to watch it maybe later tonight after I finish my last meetings for the day and stuff. But
yeah. It's still worth watching.
Did you watch the previews for next week?
Me? No.
Yeah. Oh,
I
come
never
on.
Jeez, Craig.
That's not true. You've watched them before. You've mentioned
I
that you
try never to.
See, this is the last time I don't watch the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. This was actually after like three or two really bad episodes. This was actually a worth it episode to me. And you hadn't had to watch those other two episodes to understand why this one was like, what is happening here?
Right.
The Shanae cut was nothing like the cut on this episode. So I guess we can start at the beginning where Mara
blah blah blah
gets cut.
Blah blah.
He's just trying to get to the end. It's okay, Craig. I'll make sure to really drag this out. last week, Caitlin, did you watch the episode last week?
You won't believe this, but I did not.
I figured you hadn't.
Yeah, I mean, I was told by you and by the friends I was staying with are Bachelor fans, and they watched it while I was out doing fun activities one of the days right after it, and they were like, it wasn't very good. So I was like, well, I will feel free to skip it for now.
Yeah, are they listening to our podcast now?
I believe they will be. Actually, one of them wants to start their own podcast, not about The Bachelor, but they were very intrigued when it was like, oh, Caitlin has a podcast. I see. And I was like, yes, we can give you tips and hints if you need to know how
Well, here's a tip. Work. Don't start a Bachelor podcast. There's too many.
Crowded. Yeah.
God. Jeez. Well, welcome if you're listening and you're new. We appreciate you listening. We hope we can provide you a little bit of entertainment and some laughs along the way.
Yeah. So Okay. So last week we weren't sure if Mara was the only one who hadn't had a one-on-one. This week she clarified that it was Eliza and kind of Genevieve who hadn't had a one-on-one, because remember, right, Genevieve had the two-on-one. She got cut anyways. I really thought it was weird. So the Eliza cut was a buildup for what happens later, because I really thought he was kind of into Eliza. I don't know. She's one of the only people he called beautiful, you know, nonstop, relentlessly, like stunning, beautiful. Everyone else just kind of gets complimented on their outfits or something like that. So I thought that was interesting. But then Mara got cut. The whole conversation between Mara and Sarah this week,
I mean, it was like
so pointless, right?
It's like, who cares? I don't even think we should talk about it.
Well, the thing is, in the beginning of the episode, you're not really sure who's right or wrong. And for what it's worth, all the women in the house kind of say Sarah's wrong at the beginning too, right? They're not like, I don't want to get involved in the drama.
Okay,
they're
more like, look, we have whatever. New listeners to the podcast. We got to spice this up a little bit. My boring alarm is going off.
All right, very loudly here. I do want to say one thing about that fight is that Sarah's insults on Mara being from New Jersey were a pretty low blow, in my opinion. Real snobbery, real New York snobbery coming from Sarah there. And I'm not even sure if she's actually a native New Yorker or just somebody who moved there. Right. So
she's like, I'm smelling my rose, which is something that Myra is going to not have.
Well, no, something about how she's like, New York, yeah, the New Jersey Turnpike and middle seat back to it and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
well, she's making a class commentary.
Right. Yes.
Underhanded.
And it was very class commentary. I felt it was gross, even as myself a native New Yorker. I actually love New Jersey, so step off insulting New Jersey and the Turnpike. My undergraduate thesis was on the New Jersey Turnpike as a public history educational opportunity. So I find it offensive to make fun of New Jerseyans based on the Turnpike. And like, I think she said something about her liking boxed wine or something like that. So yeah, it was all very, very classist. Basically, she's saying Mara is a bridge and tunneler, and that's why she thinks she's terrible. She's old. And
as
she's
opposed to what,
tunnel.
A helicopter?
Oh, bridge and tunnel is what you call, like,
the city to work.
Yes. Is like a bridge and tunnel people, like, they come and they can also party at clubs or whatever, but it's like an insulting thing to say to somebody, is that they're a bridge and tunnel person.
You can't afford to live in New York proper.
Yeah, you're not a New Yorker, you're a suburbanite, basically.
I've been to East Rutherford, New Jersey, which is not very far from New York.
My boring alarm is going off.
No, but it was very suburban. It was like, you know, you're not.
Yes, Craig,
you
can that's kinda, the point.
You can kind of still see the buildings in New York. You're not that far away.
It's single family housing for people who can't. Yes, Craig. Yeah.
It's like a very normal area. I'm now looking up where Sarah's from just to be like, is she actually from New York? Or is this is an unearned snobbery, because she went to Clemson University in South Carolina. Ooh. And she won a Miss South Carolina teen pageant. So I believe she is from South Carolina, in which case she's basically just as bad as a bridge and tunnel person, right? Like, she's not a native. She's a tourist.
Yeah. Yeah. Fancy. Speaking of winning a pageant, this spiced up Twitter last night. Somebody found a picture of Susie, I sent it to you guys. Mm-hmm. She apparently was a Disney princess at Disneyland.
Disneyland Tokyo?
Maybe that's what she was doing in Tokyo. Sure. But there's a picture of her, like, all dressed up like a Disney princess. And, So, with her old princess thing, she's like, I feel like a princess.
Susie was probably a model. She's already been, she's a beauty queen in the United States, not just in.
Yeah, she flew back from Japan in order to compete and win Miss whatever.
I'm sure she's been catered to by men, right? But then she has kind of the, somewhere between audacity, I have this cut for you guys that was just her completely humbled, which is my word of the episode, because it couldn't stop being said by her.
I just feel like so fortunate, you know, like this has been the most incredible experience of my life.
I don't even feel like I belong here. Like, how can this be? I've never had somebody like take me into a shop and be like, pick anything you want. I've never had that kind of luxury. This is so out of my element.
I'm so right. Sure.
Yeah. What element? Yeah, no, I just want to point out
that's her element.
That no other Bachelor podcast that I know of plays actual clips from the show like we do.
It's probably copyright. Let's not talk about
it. Oh, no, because we're talking about it. It's transformative. It's very
good. Oh, it's a parody law or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, I have a lot to say about the Susie
Well, hold on. Go ahead. Okay, no, if we're going to talk about it anyway, then don't hold on.
Okay, Caitlin, your take on the Susie date.
Well, hold on. If we're doing takes on the Susie date, I have a take.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going with this. We know what the date was. It was
I'm confused.
Shop. Craig. It was the prototypical. The producers pay for everything, and the dream date. The production gets you to buy them things, and then they're like, "We're in a fairy tale." I mean, a lot of choice women get it right, and it's not always the choice of the Bachelor, because Hannah got it, Hannah Brown, Rachel Kirkconnell got it.
Right.
There's always this date. Sometimes they do a mishmash of this date too.
Because of
they,
all that, because of the similarities, there's people speculating that she's going to be the next Bachelorette.
Right,
Susie.
Well, the thing is, she's set up for one or the other to win the entire. To be the final rose person or to be the Bachelorette. They love the person they give this date to. And Susie's gotten only quality dates, unlike other people, right? She gets the big name performer, she gets the helicopter ride, she gets the drive, you know, pick up all the clothes you want dream date. Whereas other people got what? Like a dinner by a beach. Okay.
Yeah, we get to walk around Hvar.
Yeah. Go ahead, your guys' take then, or whatever you okay, want to do, Caitlin, Craig. What do you
your
do?
Take, Caitlin? No, no, because so does this mean we're not talking about what we were talking about?
Oh, wait, what were we talking about?
Oh, so I think, Craig, you're talking about our Yimby conversation?
No, okay, just a few minutes ago. What were we talking about? We were talking about how did the episode start? They were still in Hvar.
Yes.
So I raised the boring alarm, and now we're on to Susie. But did we skip anything important, or should we just stick with Susie?
We definitely did not skip anything important, except what we already mentioned.
So, Caitlin, what is your take on Susie?
I mean, I think I agree that she's either going to win or she's likely to be the next Bachelorette, because this date was so fairy tale and perfect, right? It's the buying the stuff date, which is great anyway, because they get to get a bunch of fancy new stuff. But then, like, the Lady in Red song.
Oh, God, that was awful.
I love that.
That's the actual Lady in Red person.
That's the Lady in Red guy.
That's the real guy who wrote the song.
King. Yeah. Yes.
What?
It's not a cover. That's the guy.
You don't think they could get a better cover guy if it wasn't the guy? That's him. That's a soft rock king. And let me.
He just happens to be in Austria.
No, maybe, because let me tell you. Pause. Sorry, Caitlin. Real quick. Pause. The Bachelor used to kind of be a soft rock, or what they now call a yacht rock, which I kind of hate. Unironic soft rock proponent, the Bachelor of the Show used to be. They've had Richard Marx on, who, if you guys know who that is, he married Daisy Fuentes, which is crazy, from like MTV DJ fame.
Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross is kind of not that late 80s specific. He's more early 80s. Very, very, very honed in on soft rock. The old guard of The Bachelor used to cater to people like me who look for that, who enjoy that. On the Wings of Love, the theme to Bachelor in Paradise. Anyways, unpause, okay. Caitlin, go ahead.
Wait, hold on. Pause, uh-huh. Caitlin. So, sorry. Conspiracy theory time. Okay. They lined this dude up to sing Lady in Red, which means that they had to choose a red dress. But that happens to be Clayton's favorite color.
I know the women mentioned that, but who cares?
I mean, what if... All right. But it's just a strange coincidence, don't you think?
Well, I'm sure they had that cut, and then they're like, oh, we're going to get this guy to sing that song. I mean, that doesn't mean it's his favorite song. Or
what, was he going to sing Lady in Blue?
No, I'm saying that that's a very strange thing, as if someone cares what a 20-something-year-old dude's favorite color is. He's not like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, right. No one cares what Clayton's favorite color is. I think it's more, it was specifically designed that the dress that she would get would be red because they knew they were getting Lady in Red.
Yeah. Right. Okay, Caitlin, you're on. Go.
I mean, I don't have much more to say besides that, than I think it clearly marks her out as somebody who is, like, you know, probably top two, maybe the winner. I think a lot of people already thought this about her because of how cute she is, how much she looks like Hannah Brown, that she always seems good when she's on camera. So it already seemed like she was somebody who you would be looking out for, I guess. But this date just really cements that. And she gets the whole fairy tale moment and Lady in Red. And so it's all looking great for her.
Mm-hmm. Craig. Yeah.
Well, I think he's got it made in the shade now, because if the final two are Rachel and Susie, let's just assume that for the sake of argument, though, they're both pretty cool. I mean, one was like a Disney princess at Disney Euro Tokyo, was Euro Miss Tokyo. Whatever. You know, has traveled the world. She humble bragged. She was like, I always told myself when I came back to Europe that I'd be with somebody I really loved. It's like, way to humble brag there, Susie. So he's got that. And then with Rachel, he's got like a flight instructor, which is pretty cool too. So he's kind of a win-win.
Mm. Well,
yes, okay. But this is all assuming that there isn't some spectacular meltdown at the top two or three when he says he's like slept with a bunch of them and he's in love with all of them or whatever.
Yeah. Well, reality, see, this is not a spoiler as far as I understand. He tweeted today that there's it's an unconventional ending.
I mean, hasn't that been true the last couple?
Yeah, it has. But that phrase makes me think, like, what if Clayton's in a throuple with the final two? Unconventional.
That's true. Polyamory. Very.
Well, he does say he's been intimate with all of them and all shit goes down. So.
Okay. So, Craig, again, you mentioned
quadruple.
The humble word. Which,
humble brag.
Humble everything. Susie is humble everything. And I mean that in quotes with a sarcastic at the end. Because I think... Now, this part is like, it's controversial to say, but it could all be an act. She knows that your average viewer, that has not happened to, right? She wants to be relatable. And it's so relatable to say, I don't have that kind of money. I'm lower middle class, aka humble. But everyone in America believes they are middle to higher class, despite what their surroundings are, right? And so to America, the way she becomes relatable is she, quote, deserves, unquote, a step up to that higher middle class income bracket because she's beautiful. And that's the fairy tale. Right. So if it is, but here's the deal. If it is all an act, would that be the worst thing in the world if she is more or less like a, quote, good person or better intentioned than other acts we've seen on The Bachelor? So I kind of like if ex-co-host Chris was here, I feel like we would be talking about Naomi Watts's character in Mulholland Drive. Now, either you've seen that movie. I'm sure you have. You mean
by David Lynch?
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Oh, okay. So let me just recap her character.
No. For those of you that are new to the podcast, we had a co-host named Chris years ago who not only loved David Lynch, but studied under David Lynch's wife at USC. So it was like a huge David Lynch person. It just so happens that I don't like David Lynch. So we get into these huge arguments about it.
Right. But,
and you'd always take the side of Chris because you like David Lynch.
The thing is that when you grow up in a certain, when you're my age and you grow up and there's not much esoteric film out there.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, this is so good.
Some of it is good though.
Yeah, but
some of it is nonsense. David Lynch
and you think you're like in some exclusive club that makes you better than everyone else. Well,
I think in the like early 90s, that was really, that's all there was. So yeah, kind of, that's what you think. But
I mean, I did like Dune, don't get me wrong.
That it's not perfect. Like, but what I really like about Naomi Watts' character, Mulholland Drive, is that, so she's a young girl from, you know, Nowheresville, and she gets off the bus in L.A., and she's starry-eyed, and she's arriving, and she's like, oh, I'm going to get an audition. And they do that typical David Lynch thing where it's kind of fairy tale-ish. And then she gets in an audition and you think, oh, she's going to be really uncomfortable because it kind of looks like a casting couch porn type thing. I don't really remember. But there's basically like a lesbian scene set up. And then the character drops on us, the audience, the fact that she's willing to do anything. She gets in character. She becomes that person. She does the lesbian scene. She's not uncomfortable. She is there. And it's kind of shocking because you're like, whoa, this person, you know, you think you know more than her, but it turns out she knows more than you. So to me, that's kind of how Susie is. Like, I don't believe her humble brags. I do believe it's all an act. Is it well-intentioned? I don't know. She's scaring me because she could drop the hammer on us and be like, F all of this, I made it to the top. You know, isn't that the point of the damn show, is to create these fairy tales, whether you end up with the partner or not, and to become the person who has a publicist and who gets to wear things to the red carpet? I mean, she can't act that way the whole time. So here's her talking about her, quote, humble beginnings. And I also want to point out that she did not quite say she had humble beginnings. She said her parents did. Therefore, they reinforced in her those. But that doesn't mean she was not well off. I think she's walking a line here.
Like, I keep saying that. Like, it was literally like a fairy tale. And it almost makes me uncomfortable. Like, that's how I feel. But I think it's so different from who I am because I don't treat myself like that. And I don't let anybody treat me like that. Like, no man has ever wanted to do something like that for me. It felt like foreign from like how I live my life. So
I doubt that.
You allude to the fact that like, you feel like you're not like worthy in some sense. I feel like it's a matter of independence. You're like, okay, like I don't need someone to buy it for me. Like I can buy it, but it's kind of like you're almost pushing it away.
Yeah. Like I come from a humble home, you know, like my parents, like both of them came from very, very humble like upbringings and like honestly really hard upbringings. But I think that's probably why I like struggle so much to like accept things, because like I want to stand alone and like make them proud and like make them feel confident that they don't ever have to worry about me.
So I'm glad you mentioned the likes, Craig, because the likes, like I said, sometimes you say like because you're never taught not to. That's what we like to criticize. I agree with you. Sometimes you say like because you're trying to soften the edges for someone else.
I know.
In this case, though, I feel like she is saying like because she's trying to act like she's trying to soften the edges. And she's saying something that she's trying to convey, that she's saying something that's difficult for her to say. And I don't think that that's true. I think she's trying to make it sound like that. So here's what this ultimately like proves to me. This reinforces what this podcast said weeks ago, that the two front runners, Susie and Rachel, are definitely not only the front runners, maybe because they're beautiful and because Clayton finds them attractive and finds himself being attracted to them as people, but they're also the strongest players here because they're so poised and they're never caught off guard. And I think that's these are the kinds of people that we always warn against because they probably could be insincere. So I guess like my question for you guys is, is it all an act from these two? And where does it step over into actually liking this man, actually staying with this man? Or are we watching just a catapult into being famous for Rachel and Susie?
So I have sort of a gut reaction, which is neither of them actually like him very much. and in part, I mean, it's hard because there are some moments where it's like, oh, that's believable. I mean, I think particularly Rachel's one-on-one date a few episodes ago where they were in Houston. Yeah, and it seemed like whispering. They were like, yeah, she was whispering so much. And he was so into her. You could really tell that he likes her a lot. But I don't know that I necessarily buy the reverse, that she is so into him. You know what I mean? Like, the whispering almost feels a little performative to me in those circumstances. Like, I'm going to whisper here because it's, like, sexy and attractive and, like, implies that we're close, you know? And maybe I'm completely off base. Maybe she's super into Clayton and they're going to end up together forever or whatever. But I definitely get the vibe with both Rachel and Susie that Clayton's fine. They don't hate him or anything, you know, but that they're not necessarily sold on him as the person that they actually really want to be dating, that this is, I mean, I also think it's probably even more accurate for Susie, given her background as, like, she was in pageants and she worked at Disney World and all that kind of stuff, that she's somebody who is probably really good at putting up a nice front and acting a certain way. And maybe she's buying into a fairy tale that may or may not be true, or maybe she's just thinking, I go along with this and I have some fun and then I get a lot of followers on Instagram and SpawnCon, and who knows, maybe I'll be the next Bachelorette, but I'll definitely be on Bachelor in Paradise if not.
Right. I think
good for Bachelor in Paradise. Honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah.
In her mind. I am also saying that it's kind of a, it's a step down for her to be on Bachelor in Paradise. It would be a step down for her.
Right. Well, as we said on the podcast before, this is a really good instance of where you want to finish second.
Because you don't want to have the negativity of, like, having to break up with Clayton.
Yeah, you don't want to have to go through all, like, dating him for, yeah, you know, 6 months and then breaking up around Christmas time.
And you won't get chosen to be the Bachelorette if you date him and then break up with him, because that's, like, not really a thing that they do, per se. And it looks worse. It's not as good of a narrative as, like, coming in second or maybe even third and just being like, oh, I thought we had something, but we didn't. And then you could be the lead. So I don't know. I mean, with these, I have a hard time believing that any of the women are actually super into him.
Well, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I just, something about the vibe seems off when they're all interacting. It just doesn't seem super believable to me.
Well, who was it? Was it Reality Steve or something you mentioned, Kaylin, like where the, like, some producers were gossiping that, like, all the girls just, like, make fun of Clayton behind his back and everything.
So I heard this on another Bachelor podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Another podcast. And it was not producers. It came from a contestant who is on the show, who they will not reveal which contestant it is, but they say they have an inside source who basically told them that, like, yeah, that none of the women really liked Clayton, that they were all kind of making fun of him. And I can kind of see why, as we've seen this season unfolding, that, like, the women were really mad at him over Shanae staying for so long. And maybe that was a turning point where they were like, we don't like him anymore. There could have been many other points. I think I do feel a little bit bad for him, right? Because he doesn't seem like a bad person by any means.
Right.
He seems like he's probably very nice when you meet him. It's just that he comes across as super boring and, like, very indecisive, kind of clueless. You know, none of those things are necessarily attractive.
Yeah, I mean, quality. Like, not every guy can be dashing and, you know, dashing is the word I'm looking for.
Perfectly fine as an attractive person. He's not ugly and he seems nice. However,
but he's not dashing.
Yeah, but for TV, for The Bachelor, and for somebody wanting to, like, have a celebrity relationship, just being a nice person who is cute is not really enough to, like, build on, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So I think, right, that they're not into him and that they're just doing it for the fame. You think also that they're not into him. They're just doing it for the fame. Craig?
Yeah. I don't think they're that into him. I think
I'm talking
Rachel,
about these two women only, though.
I think Rachel could be really into him.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not basing that on anything. Although the whispering is a good whispering. Tell.
Only the whispering.
Yeah, you only whisper when you're like super attracted to somebody.
I mean, if we're talking about the point system, then I think Rachel and Clayton are about the same.
I agree with you there. I think Susie is too like cute for him. They, yeah. Unless he was a quarterback.
Right. Unless he was like a Super Bowl winning
like an active quarterback.
Yeah. Then unless I'd be like,
well, Aaron Rodgers is now on the market, right? There you go.
Have you seen that guy?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I think she could snag Aaron Rodgers easily if she wanted to.
I think she's above him, unfortunately, despite his fame.
Just bring that up because Aaron Rodgers' brother won The Bachelorette.
Right. And they said that they were not, that they were.
Yeah, they don't get along or whatever.
Or something. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's really sad when the contestants feel and when we at home feel like they are better than who they're competing for, because it really loses a lot of teeth there, right? You're not really convinced that everyone's into the lead. I do think some people are into the lead, though. I do think Sarah wants a man like Clayton. I emphasize the like part because I think she has a facade or she has a look she's trying to project, and Clayton is perfect for that look.
Like so, tall, very beefy.
Tall, beefy, even white
guy. Yeah. Yep.
And it's
tall, beefy white guy who's not like
who's a football player, who's like almost like she's the brains and he's the brawn. Yeah.
Wow, you're describing me to a T.
Yeah, right. No, I was thinking that too, that he wouldn't outshine her in the ways that she shines, right? But like, he's like our candy for someone like Sarah.
Right, yeah. And it's important that she is not someone who needs an approximation. She does not need the man. She doesn't look, the way she acts does not act like she's looking for this one. She's looking for someone like this, right? AKA a Clayton, a Colton, another football guy, a soccer guy. You know, like there's a lot of range there for someone like Sarah. She seems really, really superficial. And the way the other women talk about her reinforces that to me. So I think she would have really liked him. And she also likes winning, which would have made him an even sweeter prize, right? That's a big deal for her, is that she wanted to also win. The only way I differ is that I do think some women are into him. But I don't think these two are into him. Even the whispering. I mean, here's the thing with the whispering, though, Craig, is that I do kind of like, if you do that, it is almost borderline cruel and icky on your part to get someone that way if you're not interested in them. It really creeps me out, right?
Right.
So that's kind of where I stand with that. I don't even want to analyze it.
Yeah, but that's what
it scares me about Rachel.
Is all about is like you have to have faith that the person is being honest.
Right, isn't it scary if she's not?
Well, therein lies the risk of putting your walls down.
It's not, but it's not a wall situation. It's a deception.
If you put your walls down, it opens you up to being deceived.
Are you talking about? But I'm talking about Rachel whispering is an intimate act.
Yes.
And so,
if she's faking it,
uh-huh.
Then that sucks for Clayton, but it's the risk you run when you're putting your walls down.
Right, but what does it say about Rachel? That's the part that skews me out.
It would mean she's an evil person.
Yeah, it would mean she's very deceptive and like to a point of I mean, I guess you could say this with any contestant who sort of leads on the lead, is that it's cruel to a certain extent to really put on an act that you're really, really into somebody if you're not. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think also what we've been seeing in the previews all season for the big moment where, you know, he's slept with two of them and he's in love with three of them stuff. That's actually, if you're not into Clayton, that's a great moment for you because it gives you a really easy out to leave him at that point, right? Mm-hmm. To be like, this is too much for me. I have real feelings for you, but you're saying you have it for everybody, which means yours can't be that strong for me. Like, I'm out, you know?
Right. And that's where, for example, Greg on Katie's season where it went wrong is that he never had that real moment. And that's why I don't believe him. Whereas Susie and Rachel could be, I have to reinforce that, so cunning, so conniving that they use it perfectly. And that's why that moment is going to be so important to dissect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait till we get to that moment because we'll be able to see at that point kind of who wants to stay and who wants to leave based on that information.
Yeah, or how it even pans out. We don't even know. We don't know any of the circumstances of it. Like I was telling you guys, I'm like, don't believe the previews because in the preview, they showed Sarah and Genevieve.
Yeah.
And it's
they showed like Shanae there at one point in some of their previews. So they've put a lot of women's faces with that audio. What we do know is he definitely says he's had sex with two of them and then he's in love with all of them. And that it looks like at the same moment, there's a blonde woman crying on the stairs and the blondest woman is Rachel.
Right. Yeah. But
like and that's going to be devastating because she's the one that actually likes him.
Yeah. Out of the three of us, there's only like, I guess Rachel might like him.
I could maybe see it. I could potentially believe it, but I could also very easily believe that she is faking this whole thing.
Right. And you know what? Rachel seems to have. Because they're more evenly matched according to the point system, and because her career goals seem very much almost attainable, where Susie looks like she's shooting for the stars, right? She is out there to make a name for herself and leave the Bachelor behind at some point. So I would believe that Rachel is the more likely to like him, but I think both of them are right now in the same nebulous cloud of, yeah. I don't know.
I think that makes sense to me because if her real goal that she's talked about on this is to be a pilot, a working pilot, there aren't really like celebrity pilots. That's not a career trajectory. You know what I mean? Right. Like there's not famous pilot. It's not necessarily a thing. I mean, I guess you could try to pioneer a whole new degree of celebrity, but if that's what she wants to be doing, she doesn't need to be getting Spawn Con all the time and stuff like that. She could just have a happy relationship and be a pilot and that would work.
It could be the new like whatever the Tesla crowd is trying to launch, and like, you know, she'll be the face of, you know, oh, get to Singapore to LA in under 2 hours type of thing. That's just like, you know, basically a pawn, like a scheme, a money making scheme. Okay.
I guess you could get into that.
Yeah. So, Genevieve got cut.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I don't see much there. So it makes sense to me. I like how the TV therapist actually called Sarah out and saw through her crap, which is rare for a TV therapist to do. Very rare.
Can we talk about how psychoanalysis is not therapy, or is that already a given?
I go ahead. Distinct.
Well, psychoanalysis, Freud has been debunked by like every. I mean, it's fun to talk about, like, oh, you want to marry your mom and you hate your dad, and you know, like you're anal retentive because you weren't potty trained right. I mean, those are all like cool, sexy psychology things to say, and they have a ring of truth to them, but they've been completely debunked across the board. Everything Freud put out there has been debunked. And But that's
isn't the basis true, though, that there are roots? I mean, the whole point is that there's roots in childhood and roots in moments and trauma that affect you for your whole life.
Well, I think that's
and I think if you can take that, you don't have to take the particular things he said.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's why people like Freud, is because there's a hint of truth to everything he said. Mm-hmm. But there's it's just not considered like valid practice psychoanalysis.
It's not the like most commonly accepted current method, but there are some, like Izark, you're saying there are some things that definitely are building blocks with like trauma and childhood and all that kind of stuff. I am curious about, so we get this therapy date, which I think is like our second therapy date of the season.
Our first official therapy date.
But there was another therapy date earlier. And the, I guess the selling point here is that because they're in Vienna and that's, you know, Freud's city, but that made me start to brainstorm what other Austrian related group date.
Mozart. They could have totally done like an awesome
Mozart classical music date.
I was the
Sound of Music date, 'cause that's in Salzburg.
Well, but this is to me, to go to Vienna and not mention classical music in Mozart. Yeah. I would have been like, Excuse me. I've seen Amadeus. I love that movie.
Oh my God, I love that movie too.
Oh my God.
It's so good and beautiful. Craig, are you serious? You don't like the best movie of 1984? The best?
Absolutely the best.
I have a hardline stance against classical music, but I won't go into it now.
Wow, Craig. All right, first of all, a lot of classical music is good. I'm just going to say that.
I'm not saying it's bad.
There's a reason why. He thinks it's
snotty because, I mean, let me guess. You think it's snotty because it gets public funding.
Yes, that's exactly right. and the public radio stations
and as
play classical music when they could play heavy metal. But they
and
don't.
As I've pointed out to you, Craig, world music and jazz also get public funding, as do other subgenres. Like we have a alternative music station here that gets public funding.
Yeah. I know. We've talked about this before.
Okay.
So not well.
Also, I'd like to point out that there is nothing stuffy about Mozart.
No, it is an awesome movie. No, I love Mozart as a person, but I also love the movie. It's awesome.
The movie is so good. And it really, to me, like if you watch that, you do not get the impression of Mozart as some sort of upper class asshole. You know, like he's just very fun.
Exactly. I hate period movies. I hate like when you can't understand what they're saying or like why they did this thing. But the movie is awesome, Craig. Have you seen it?
No.
All right, you have.
Caitlin.
Is it as good as Mulholland Drive?
It's way better than Mulholland Drive. It's way better than Mulholland Drive. I'll tell you that much.
Is it as good as Inland Empire? Because if it's as good as Inland Empire, I'm racing. I'm going to go check it out right now.
You like that movie out of all the David Lynch movies, is Inland Empire, the like handheld camera.
No.
You know, now that's real 8mm.
That's ironic.
Both of the lead guys in Amadeus were nominated for lead Oscars. Wow. Both of them.
It is so good.
I'm just saying. And one of them won. So it was good. There was some good acting in it.
It's almost like the Oscars are some sort of barometer of achievement.
In the 80s, there was still not the campaign, the marketing that there is now. Like, it wasn't as pushed together. Although, I think Gandhi won that year. Still, Amadeus is totally the best movie.
It was the best by far. I loved it. I grew up watching it.
Me too.
So we could have had a Mozart date here.
An essay on it in high school. I'm not kidding you guys. It was so good to me. And it did not have to be about a movie, but I loved it so much. So good.
I think a Mozart date would have been fun, or like another Vienna thing that I think of. I visited Vienna once many years ago, and coffee culture is really big, like going to cafes. They could have had coffee-related dates, like they learn how to make good coffee. True, but it's like in Vienna, they're like, coffee culture, we're so into it. So you could have done that. Like, they're really into art, lots of art museums. You could have had more,
see the Klimt, yeah.
We did get to see the Klimt, but yeah, I feel like they could have done something more interesting than what they chose to do.
Well, as you will note, I think the TV therapist, as most Austrians and most Europeans are willing to do, is to call out Americans quickly on their shit. So maybe that was the point there. that the TV therapist is just like,
right,
oh, you guys are just so horrible, I'm gonna just tell you you're performative,
right,
in the most snotty European way.
Yeah. And how the hell does she know?
Okay, so you're saying that this was, so let's go back to what you were saying though. This was not a psychoanalytic date.
Right. There was no psychoanalysis going on. It was therapy.
It was just plain old therapy. Which is fine. Because they didn't say, I'm insecure. Oh, therefore you, when you were five, you didn't get a hug or something. Like, there was no connections. That's what you're saying.
I mean, I'm not a psychologist, so I can't like go after it, but I know enough to know that there was no psychoanalysis going on.
Yeah. Well, the women that are left, and this is why the half of them are, okay, let me start all over. The women that are left, half of them are really, really boring people, and the other half are so poised and calculated that it's really hard for them to have a conversation, so much so that this is the conversation that came out of them.
Kind of used it in the longest.
Yeah.
She did seem really nervous.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. She seemed nervous.
Yeah, totally. Hopefully it's a good, long conversation and not like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bad.
Also, Gabby's voice always gets me as just such an interesting and weird voice.
I have something to say about her fashion, because I am taking my conspiracy theory all the way to, and I hate saying that that term now, but it just, she just, every time I see her, she flashes me back to a Delia's catalog, to a 90s place that's like the Craft, you know, like she just has this look and this style that's so 90s. Anyways, I don't know if we're doing fashion, but
Well, is it time to move on to the end?
Well, okay, so Craig's excited about this. Just real quick, the Serene date. I feel like Serene is the producer pick. I feel like Gabby is a producer pick too. But here's my distinction. Is that Serene and Gabby are... Clayton isn't really interested in either of them, but I prefer, if all things equal, I prefer Serene goes forward because she has the worst job and Gabby can go back to a great job as a NICU nurse, and Serene absolutely cannot go back to being a school teacher in Oklahoma for reasons we've talked about last episode, Caitlin. Those reasons being, what are they, Craig? Do you remember?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Reason being that in Oklahoma, they're proposing a law that if you accidentally or purposefully insult someone's religion, you personally as the teacher will get sued for up to $10,000.
Oh, God.
Didn't you mention this last week?
I did, but what I'm saying is that if Serene and Gabby are both the producer picks, then I'd rather Serene never go back to her work because it scares me for the teachers. And
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So okay. Are you guys ready for the mind blowing last 15 minutes?
Okay. Let's do predictions. So my prediction is that Teddy gets sent home.
Okay. What's your prediction, Caitlin?
All right. I'm trying to think of something that's going to be super shocking. All right. It's that one of the women chooses to leave at the rose ceremony, not that they're sent home.
That'd be nice. No. No. I think, yeah, so Teddy got sent home.
Oh, yeah, I was right.
I bet you Craig looked it up.
No, actually, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I did not look it up.
How could you possibly guess that? I was shocked, and I'll tell you why, but go ahead. Tell me how you guessed that. You just guessed it.
I just guessed it. Well, it's because she never got her therapy date shown. Right?
No. Yeah, I guess not.
So she just suddenly became like a background character. And I was like thinking to myself last night, I was like, Maybe that's it for her. I mean, she never got a one-on-one either, right?
She did. She got one last week. And it was a crappy, like, by the waters date that didn't go anywhere. No big musician. I have,
no memory of that.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I don't know what prompted me to think that, but it just popped into my head.
Well,
So who are the four that get chosen?
So it's Serene, Rachel, Serene. Susie.
Okay, hold on. Let's slow down here. Okay. Serene, who just had a one-on-one.
Okay. Rachel.
Susie, who was a Tokyo Disney princess. Rachel, the flight instructor, who whispers. And Gabby. Right?
Yes. I forgot. Yes.
Who talks like this?
Okay. But let me
see,
that's
weird. I would send Gabby home and keep Teddy.
But she's a producer pick. That's my point.
So is Teddy.
No, Teddy is not. That's why I was so devastated.
Does Gabby have like a messed up family or something? Like, why would they want to produce?
Well, she does have a thing with her mom.
I do want to.
But also, I see Zier's point here because she dated Dean. She's got that inside track.
Blake that she
yes, even though she's denying dating Blake.
So,
but that means she knows. She probably knows the producers who are like friendly with those guys.
Right.
Or it's even more of like a threat if they cut her. You know, like, don't let me get Dean and Blake on their respective podcasts and tell.
Oh my god.
I mean, I don't know.
Tell them all the shit. Well, we also have to remember that Susie has a connection to the same couple because she's friends with Kaylin Miller Keys.
Makes total sense that she is. Oh, she just went into crazy land for me. Okay, so.
Hold on. So do they.
Uh-huh.
Oh, let me catch my breath here. I'm out of breath suddenly. Got too excited.
Yes.
So does Teddy get an exit interview?
Kind of. And see, this is where it gets confusing. Because from what we saw, Clayton is so attracted to Teddy in the beginning, right?
Right.
So did the sexual attraction fade? I always thought Teddy was a little vapid, but he's not no deep anything. So what's the deal? You know, why would he not choose her? And Craig, if you remember from last week, she basically said, yes, I'll give you my virginity. And he's like,
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh,
and
boy.
So that was, yes. So that conversation right there, maybe it was too big of a responsibility for him, or because it was kind of a fading sexual attraction, he's okay with letting it go because it's worse for him to let her go after the fact.
When you go into those fantasy suites, you want to guarantee it.
Well, I think the problem for him, right, is if he really likes Teddy and he thinks she's going to be maybe top two, they have to get through fantasy suites, which either means he has sex with her and takes her virginity, which then means if he doesn't choose her, he looks like a total asshole.
Total douche. Yeah.
Yes. Or they don't have sex. And then that means he doesn't get to have sex with somebody in there. And this guy's horny.
Why would you give up a slot like that?
He is horny. He's going to want to bone them. So, yeah, I think for him, maybe that's part of the reason why she leaves here is he did seem like he liked her. But maybe he decides ultimately, that's too much responsibility, that there's no good way to like have sex with her and then break up with her without looking like one of the worst people on TV ever.
Totally.
Yeah. And here's the. So in the exit. So, you know, not throughout the season, honestly, but at the very beginning of the season, she acted like she was so into him. Exactly, just him. She wanted him to be the bachelor. She really likes the way he looks and she's attracted to him. And there was, and it was mutual between them, right? Clayton said the same thing. He was just blown away by her physically. And so that's why I was so confused. Other than that really important thing about the virginity, it seemed like a very good match. She should have told him like after. but maybe he's just over it and he doesn't like her anymore. Okay, so...
Wait, so do you think she should have had sex with him in the fantasy suites and then afterwards been like, BTW, that was my first time?
I knew a girl that did that, yeah. And I don't think it's... I don't know.
So, I think you can get away with them not knowing, honestly. I just think it's a hard move to pull off if you're Teddy, because you really aren't totally sure, you know, like, what's going to happen, et cetera.
Let me tell you why it was such a strange... This is why I need major answers. And I think we're all there. You know, we understand that it's a responsibility, and that's why he didn't want it, and that's why he cut her. He just wasn't into her enough anymore. Totally. Uh-huh. At the very end, her little kind of exit interview, and Clayton said nothing about this. Hopefully we'll get some answers after the final rose or whatever, or when the women tell all. But she said something akin to, you know, I feel like I've put my heart out there like a bunch of times and no one ever reciprocates. So she's kind of like, I want to get my virginity taken already and it's never worked out and I don't understand why and I'm pissed about it. And she's kind of acting like she's just kind of annoyed that it didn't happen again. She was not acting like Clayton. I love Clayton. I wish I would have had sex with Clayton. She's just kind of like, God damn it. Again, are you serious? I'm not worthy. Ah.
I wonder if it's because she did seem like she was into the beginning, like the stuff you were saying that she said specifically, she was hoping it would be him chosen. And I think she's the only person who said that on this season. I wonder if maybe it was a waning attraction for her as well, that as the time went on, she was less, like, she was sort of like, I'm still in this, but she was less like, wow, what a fairy tale. It's the guy I wanted to be with, and he was chosen, and he seems like he's into me. And she was sort of just in it to be like, I want to see this thing through.
Yeah, finally. It's like a mission to take to get her virginity taken, finally, or whatever the term is. I guess that sounds kind of regressive, right? To just lose her virginity or whatever. Anyway, so it is... It is kind of a mystery. I mean, if you guys, my immediate thought was back to Abigail and Matt James's season where she was the first impression rose. And it was, man, it was kind of a pity rose because she gave a sob story. I mean, a legitimate one. And then he's like, here's a rose. And it felt like a producer pick. Abigail was always the sweetheart. She was always awesome. And then here we are with a first impression rose that also kind of went nowhere. You know, after the first couple weeks, the sizzle went away of there. And I just need answers from them personally. I get what we're saying is probably right, but I just want them to say something. Clayton has said nothing. He said some little joke about Teddy and a teddy bear thing. I don't know. I was kind of, it was a defining moment for me for the season. I don't know if it's worth watching, but at the very least it's worth knowing about, unlike the last two episodes. Right. So this whole thing was chock full. And then the Sarah cut was nothing like this, even though that one was played up more. And that's it. And that's the episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have the final four now.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do we want to make any guesses on who wins, who's Bachelorette, et cetera, since last...
What are the hometowns? So do we know? Oh. Is this going to be impossible to figure out? So Gabby is what?
So do you mean where...
Yeah, where are they from?
I think she's from Denver, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. Okay, and then Susie's from, like...
Virginia Beach.
Yeah, and then we know that... Oh, God, this is tough. Rachel's from Claremont, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Well, they show her Kyron more than anyone else.
Oh.
And then... and I used to live... I used to live in Upland, which is next to Claremont, California.
Oh.
So it's stuck in my brain. Uh-huh. And then, because I used to live in the Inland Empire, EZR.
Yeah.
And then, who's left?
Serene
is Oklahoma somewhere. Do we know where?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
She could be
from a suburb.
That could be kind of fun going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah. But what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, what could go wrong with these hometown dates, you know?
Nothing to do with where they live could go wrong.
Yeah, nothing to do. Well, Gabby's mom and their weird relationship.
Yeah, that I'm into a thing.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who's hinted at a weird family situation that. Not that I remember anyone else bringing up like a family thing that seemed like it could be dramatic. So maybe Gabby's is the dramatic one.
Right. It's, well, I mean. Yeah, I don't, I'm not, as I've said before, I'm not interested in who wins, or I'm more interested in the why than the who, you know, or who gets picked next. And, yeah, the only, I mean, Susie, she's who I mean, they like. She's the Clayton equivalent.
It has to be Susie and Rachel. I mean, that well, has to be the last
two. Yeah, that's the last two.
But I think she's more charismatic than Clayton is. Like, she's, I think, going to be better able to pull off a lead situation if that
sure
happens.
Definitely. But she is the equivalent in the producer's eyes, yes, in terms of all-American, wholesome.
Seems like they want her because she's very cute. She seems sweet.
And men will fall all over themselves for her.
Yeah, she does seem like she's very able to sort of draw folks in. And she does kind of have an interesting thing going on with the, you know, she's lived abroad and worked at Disney, and that's kind of fun.
That's the new, like, America. Yeah, there's the new all-American. They kind of like a Hannah Brown, but not exactly a small town person.
And we don't have to deal with all the religion stuff that they did with Hannah.
Well, I wonder how far. What I am interested in with Susie's hometown is she keeps, like I alluded to earlier, the whole humble thing. I want to see this house. I want to see this family. I don't buy it at all. And that's where I'm kind of annoyed, because Rachel and Susie are really innocuous. Like, they're not offensive at all, except for I don't believe them. And I don't believe that they're from humble beginnings or whatever. Right. So let's see. And that's it.
Well, so Caitlin, who, I mean, was, is that your prediction too?
I think, if I'm going to make a prediction at this point, I think Rachel wins.
Yeah.
And I think Susie is either number two or three, and she is the next Bachelorette. That's what I would guess. Right. Yeah, I think Gabby might be the next to go home, honestly.
Yeah.
You don't want to take her to the fantasy suites, because that's going too far.
Yeah, and especially if he's not into her... And he does seem like he's really into Rachel. I do sense that he likes Serene, and he seems like he likes Susie. So that seems like a pretty obvious tie.
I don't feel like he likes Serene. I felt like he liked Teddy way more. That's why it blew me away. And I feel like he doesn't like Gabby either, but I don't understand. Like, so when he says, I've had sex with two of you, I can see him not having sex with Serene if it comes down to that. Or and not so have sex with Gabby.
Yeah.
So you think, you know, any way you slice it, that he's boned Rachel and Susie.
Yeah, that's the dream, right? Like,
do you think she whispers during
the
sex?
The whispering and the sex appeal.
That'd be so awful.
You know, see, that's why I don't understand the whispering, because she has to take it all the way, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, let's quickly hit the fashion roundup.
Is there anything?
Sure. Yeah. It's always fashion.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Yeah, if you're new to the podcast, this is actually Caitlin likes to talk about what people are wearing with Craig.
Well, Craig originated it, so that's his thing. I don't even have a lot of fashion this week, because honestly I was trying to speed through to watch as much as I could.
Right.
I mean, Susie's big red dress, I remember that. Voluminous.
Yeah. It looked like a Beetlejuice dress. The only thing I have that I want to make sure I mention is Gabby's flared 90s pants with a kind of pea coat which is so dang 90s, right? It was, she had, I don't know if you guys saw when they first got to Vienna, she had like beige skin colored bell bottoms with chunky shoes with a big light pink coat. And then the hair up. I mean, all she needed was one of those big spider clips in the back. She is so 90s. It throws me off every time. Like, are you a time traveler? Why are you here?
I think a lot of this is stuff that's like really becoming fashionable again. You know, like we've seen flares are hip again to a certain extent. I know the big spider clips have come back. So I think she's just really hitting it hard. But some of it's too much stuff that, like, you can buy again pretty easily.
She's the only one doing it, though. That's why it also throws me off. And her face. Her face is 90s. I'm not going to get over it that she is so... She looks like she's from a different era. And she, and it looks too dated. You know, it doesn't look like a like, I've been watching the Pam and Tommy movie thingy, the Hulu, and it's really explicit. So not safe for work, people. But... and I'm not going to say anything that's not safe for work, but I'm just telling you that it is very explicit in case you want to watch it with family or something. Do not watch it by yourself, not even with a date or anything.
I would assume it's got to be explicit given the subject matter it's covering.
But you'd think that, except that's not even where the explicificity lies. It's in these other scenes that you don't see coming. You're like, wait, what? Why are there porn stars everywhere? Oh, my goodness. So
it's like Euphoria.
Oh, really? See?
Yeah, it has sexually explicit scenes.
Oh, well, the reason I mentioned the Pam and Tommy is because it is so not good at capturing the 90s. I mean, they'll have like an outfit here or there, but the way they talk, the things they say, the way it's shot is so now, and it's really dragging it down. It's not very good in that way. I mean, the actors are okay. They're kind of being themselves, you know, Nick Offerman and Seth Rogen are being themselves, but the 90s part is severely lacking. And so Gabby's making that up for me right now.
Okay. And I was wondering where that was going.
Go ahead.
So I have one thing it's only minorly related to fashion, which is where Clayton and Susie do their evening portion and Lady in Red happens in the Lady in Red dress is Schönbrunn Palace, which, just for history people like me, is Marie Antoinette's like childhood home.
That is fashion related, thanks to Sofia Coppola.
Yes, I mean, Marie Antoinette, fashion icon, so.
Learn something new each day.
Anything for you, from you, since you've
been dying? No, just those big jackets that... Clayton wears. He's so tall, he wears these like really long big jackets. Like he wore like a maroon one kind of, or brown.
I think it really is just they can't find stuff that fits his whole body, so they gotta like size up to get like the muscles and the shoulders in, and then it all looks kind of, they either have him in like skin tight t-shirts and such, or like really oversized outerwear.
What'd you think of the scene where they're kissing out in the public square in Vienna and the camera rotates around a couple times? It was very like it's film school 101.
Talking to me?
Oh.
Oh. It was, they're trying to build this love story. I'm bored of it already.
All right. Well, good episode. follow us on social media. We're not hard to find. And darn it, give us a review on the
dang darn it.
Dag damn it. Whippersnapper.
We forgot to talk about Sarah's Shanae impression. Oh well, it's fine. Where she just she goes, I can't even, and then he goes, I don't even see any tears. Well, I'm all out of tears.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was shocking to me in that Clayton like says he doesn't believe her. He believes everyone all the time. He's very gullible.
that's the first, the only reason he believes, I mean, that's the first time he said that. And he acts like he acts like he made up his own mind. He did not. Mm-hmm. Everyone made up his mind for him. So it's annoying, right? When he's acting like, actually, I don't believe you, even though he believed her during the therapy session. Yeah. He's such a fake.
Yeah, he's a, I don't know, I'm going to look at his Twitter again to see his reactions, because he does seem like he won't stop engaging with the content of his own demise.
If I looked as bad as he does on TV, as clueless and airheaded as he does, I would not want to run my social media account. I would pay someone to do it for me, because it would break my heart. Where everyone would tell me how stupid I am every week. That's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his replies are often... I mean, I haven't looked at them since Shanae went home, but when she was still there, it was just like every reply to everything he posted was like, how dare you? I hate you. You're a bad person. And then you're so like, stupid.
That's me. I'm ridiculous. He's super self-deprecating, because that's the strategy, but it's... hurtful. Yeah. I mean, it's not him being self-deprecating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, but to me, if I was in his shoes, where I'm on this show, I've been edited to look even worse. Like, I look horrible. I know that people are constantly like, wow, what an idiot. I would just not be tweeting about it.
Well, he's not actually on Twitter, you know, he's only on Twitter to save face,
mm-hmm.
because he only follows 6 people. One of those people being Elon Musk, by the way, barf.
Really? He only follows 6 people?
Yep. Which means he's not really using Twitter. Yes. He's just using it as a character.
I'm going to go look at who he follows right now. It is 6 people, and he follows Brandon Jones, who... I think is one of his real life. No, it's Brandon. Brandon from The Bachelor? Yeah. It's Brandon, the runner up from Michelle's season.
Oh, oh.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't tweet very often, it seems like, and also only follows a handful of people. He follows Jesse Palmer.
He
follows, hang on, who is this? Their name is Toxic King.
His brother, Grimes. He follows his brother, who's like also a football player.
Nate Eckerd, yeah. Elon Musk and OpenAI, whose mission is to ensure that artificial general intelligence benefits all of humanity.
Barf. What a bunch of bullshit.
What the hell is it? What are his interests?
Nothing has made me dislike him except that.
It's Elon and OpenAI that make it particularly egregious to me. Both of them together are interesting.
No, yeah.
See, not this is... deep knowledge you only get on this podcast. And
anyone could look that up.
Yeah, but we actually take the time to look it up.
But the point is that it's not a real Twitter account, right? It's not. He doesn't actually use Twitter. He uses it as character rehabilitation, and it's all an act on his end too. He easily might be hiring someone that's rolling with the punches, right? A publicist. You need to hire a publicist. Okay.
All right. Good job. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.